sang that song Wednesday night, When We See Christ.
Amen. I think we sang it. I don't remember when we sang it, but I can't wait to see him face to face. Amen. Thank you, Sister Amy. That was wonderful. All right. Take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Matthew. Lord willing, this morning we're going to finish up the series I've been preaching on discerning through Scripture. And every week as we talk about this subject of discernment and talk about the discerner, which is the Word of God, I've been trying to give you a lot of Scripture. Typically when we preach, we have a lot of Scripture in our messages, but we don't turn to all of them. But during this series, I've been having you turn to them. And I want you just to see them and read the words with me on there. But Matthew chapter 16, this has been our text verse for the entire series of discerning through Scripture, discerning the times. And so we're going to go back here once more and read this these few verses and get into the thought this morning. And again, as I'm going through here, I'm trying to do, church, is get us to think about Scripture in light of what's going on. That's what this whole thing's about. It's what does the Bible say and not what do we say or what do we think. There's a lot of things that could be formed as opinions and things like that, but I've tried my best to say, look at this verse, look at this verse, look at this verse. Now, what are we going to do with it? And that's been the thought behind this series. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 1, if you're there, amen. We've read this every week. It's just kind of our launching text where Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse number 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. We know the Jews require a sign. We discussed that. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. There is a great lack of discernment amongst God's people today. You see it everywhere. You see it on social media. You see it day to day when you go out. You see the way that people behave themselves and dress and act and all those things. And there's just not a lot of discernment. Some of the things I'm going to preach this morning went right along with that wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning about the Holy Spirit dealing with us and things like that, and the quote that he had at the end of Sunday school. There's just a great lack of discernment that's going on, and we see it played out all around us. And we looked up the definition of discernment and gave that to you for several weeks now. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I gave you the illustration last week of Solomon when he prayed for wisdom to be able to discern between right and wrong. And immediately after God granted it to him, he got the opportunity to discern and he asked for the sword. In church, that's what we ought to go for immediately. Whenever anything comes up in our life that we need to make a decision on, we ought to grab the sword and say, Lord, how do you want me to discern this situation? And you say, well, there's probably things in our life that we need to make decisions on that's not in Scripture. Find one and let me know. I don't care what it is. What you listen to, what you eat, how you're dressed, where you go, what you do. Every decision you make, I can find Scripture in there to help you discern to make the right decision. God did not leave us with no direction. And I'm thankful for that. He gave us exactly what we need. I've said this before when it comes to like raising children or a marriage. People always want a manual. They say, give me a book and spell out exactly what I need to do. Well, that's what God did for us. The problem is you just don't like the way that He said to do it. But that's what pleases Him and that's what's best for you and best for me, is just to obey the Word of God. And so we discern through the discerner, not our opinions, not our feelings. We discern through Scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to give you a few verses, and I'm going to look at a biblical illustration in the book of Acts about discerning through Scripture. Hebrews chapter 5,
Look with me there in chapter 5, verse number 12. If you would like to do a study sometime on what we're talking about, there's just not enough time to go through all the Scripture. Look up the word discern. Look up the word discernment. Look up the word truth. Look up the word Word of God. Look up those things and follow them all through Scripture, and you will see so many things that will help you in your Christian life. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, and we're going to read through verse number 14. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he says here in Hebrews chapter 5, and he's writing it to the Jews, to the Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, he said, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink, strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. You know what he just said right here? The more you use this book, the more you'll be able to discern. And so do you know what we have in a lot of churches? We have spiritual babies. They're unskillful in the Word. They know just enough verses to get themselves in trouble, but they listen to everything going on outside the world, and that's where they get their doctrine. That's where they get their Scripture. That's where they get their Bible. And you know what you are? I'm sorry, but you're a baby Christian. There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian when you first get saved. But if you've been saved any length of time, you ought to have grown up a little bit. We have people today that have been saved a long time, some longer than I've been alive. And they are in spiritual ICU in the NICU. They're in the NICU unit this morning. They're baby Christians. Every little thing upsets them and offends them. Every little thing bothers them. Every little thing that's going on in society that looks like it's something that might be of God, they jump on board immediately without questioning what did the Bible say. That's what children does. That's what a child does. Last week I gave the illustration when I gave Carson the expired tea. I did not know it was expired before I gave it to him. At least I'm telling you about the chips. I gave it to him, and he didn't want to try it at first because the thought of putting a little bit of grape juice in some Milo sweet tea, the initial thought of it didn't sound all that great. But then he took the drink of it and said, wow, this is okay. Why? Because Milo sweet tea is pretty powerful stuff. And so he drank it. Well, as soon as he drank it, kids started piping up all over the building. I want to try it. I want to try it. I want to try it. And we're laughing, but that's what's going on. These other churches were seeing these things, and social media is promoting these things in all these churches. And now you've got the youth of America that said, I want to try it. There's another movie that's come out. It's called Come Out in Jesus' Name. And it's playing and doing things. And I'm telling you, it's not scriptural. They say it's scriptural, but the reason it's not scriptural is they do not know how to rightly divide the Bible. And it causes mass confusion. And so we discern through Scripture. And those that do not go to Scripture to exercise discernment, they're baby Christians. Brother Charlie Andrews had a big old pacifier that he pulled out of the pulpit sometimes and just set it on the pulpit. Why? Because baby Christians. People that should know better that throw fits. Have you ever seen a grown man throw a fit? I have. A grown woman throw a fit? I've seen it time and time again. What is that? No discernment. Oh, but they're Christians. Oh, but they read the Bible. They're not exercising the Scripture properly. And the Bible here says, look at it. Look at verse number 13. For he is a babe. Now that's Paul that said that. He's a babe. There are Christians that are in spiritual ICU this morning. They're in the NICU unit. They get their feelings hurt. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The more Bible you get in you and the more you're in your Bible, the less you'll think of yourself. Brother Stephen said it this morning about when it comes to clothing or giving or whatever the case is. The more that you cover up of yourself, the more that Jesus can shine through. People don't need to see me. They need to see Christ. They don't need to see you. They need to see Christ. Now go with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, strong meat. As a child grows, hopefully he can eat a little more than he did the day he was born. Ezra's turning one this week, and I'm sure that he's been able to try some different kind of foods. I know when they're first born, they have the milk from their mother, and then they begin to grow, and then they eat those nasty peas that come in that jar, and they chop up hot dogs real small, and but as they grow, next thing you know, they're starting to eat more solid food. And in a Christian's life, it ought to be that way. We ought to be in the Scripture every day, and we ought to be growing in grace through Scripture. And grow up a little bit. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 10. This is why reading your Bible is important. This is why preaching is important and Sunday school is important and those kind of things. Wednesday night, this is because you're trying to grow through Scripture. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. We look at discerning the deception. And now we're looking at discerning through Scripture. I like this illustration given in Acts chapter 17. And here's where I'm going to preach this for a few minutes this morning. Acts 17 and verse number 10. The Bible said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few." There is so much misinformation in this world right now. There is so many lies being spread about all kind of things. It's all over social media. It's not just the Republicans. It's on both sides. Fox News, fair and balanced. They're still giving you the news they want to give you. There's nothing fair and balanced about any of it on either side. But there's so much misinformation. There's so many lies. You cannot believe everything you hear. You cannot believe everything you feel. Your feelings will deceive you. Your ears, your eyes will deceive you. They deceived Eve. If not looked through the Scripture, through the discerner, they will deceive you. You don't know what I saw. You don't know what I felt. You don't know what I heard. If it's not through the discerner, you need to go back and check it. There's so much that's going on. Everything on the internet is true. But there's some people that believe it. If you don't know if it's true or not, just put it on Facebook and they'll fact check you. They will tell you what truth is. And they will tell you what's a lie. They'll tell you what is misleading. You need to check the facts. And I want to tell you today that I've already preached a whole message on it last week. This is the fact. This is absolute truth. It's the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's churches, other churches, media, whatever it is. We need to check the facts. Well, how do we check the facts? Well, I'm going to go to my conspiracy theory buddy and check out with him. No, he's just as deceived as you are. Amen? He's just as deceived as you are. Well, I'm going to check with this certain news outlet. And there's some guys that are out there that I believe are Bible believers and they love God and they're searching through Scripture and they say, hey, I think this is what's going to happen. And they can say that on the authority of the Word of God. And guess what? Praise the Lord, man. I'm happy for you. I can hear what you have to say, but I want to check Scripture. Do you know why we want you to bring your Bible to church? So that you open it up and you confirm, the Holy Spirit of God will confirm what's being preached, what's being taught. Preachers will misspeak sometimes. I mean, it happens all the time. And I've got folks that let me know, hey, you read that verse wrong. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for checking up on me. I'm glad you had your Bible. Amen. And that you need to bring your Bible. That there's certain religious organizations, the Catholic Church is one of them, and there's others. They don't want you reading your Bible. Why, if you read your Bible, it would mess up their doctrine. It would mess up. They begin to read the thing and say, wait a minute, I'm not doing this and I'm doing that. And the next thing you know, it messes up what you're preaching. This book has a way of messing people up all the time. So how do we check the facts? Well, I want to say you check the facts with absolute truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. I want to look at these noble men, these noble Bereans that are found here in Acts chapter 17. Now, what's going on here? Paul, in the first part of this chapter, he went into Thessalonica. And as his manner was, he would go straight into the synagogue. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but his heart's desire was that Israel would be saved. He always wanted the Jews to be saved. So as soon as he went into an area, he was doing what God told him to do with the Gentiles, but he always went into the synagogue to see if he can reason with them and get them to see that Jesus was the Messiah. And so when he went into Thessalonica there in verse number 1 and verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and there, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them from social media. Is that what it says? How many times have you had somebody argue with you and their source is social media? That's their source for arguing. Paul's, he reasoned with them out of the what? Out of the Scriptures. He opened his Bible and said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Open them up out of Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again, verse 3, from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed. Praise the Lord for it. And consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You know, it amazes me that these mega church pastors want to make themselves of the baser sort. So what do you mean? I mean, they're going out getting tattoos. They're getting piercings. They're taking themselves down to the level of a lost heathen to try to reach out to these people. You don't have to do any of that to reach people. Why would I want what you have when you're no different than me? Amen. I'm not saying better than anybody. We're not better than anybody. We all deserve hell. But Jesus saved me and He cleaned me up and gave me some direction. I can live a good life for Him and I can try to please Him with my life. I don't have to sin in order to try to reach people. Y'all okay? And so they went out and found these lewd fellows of baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. This is going on in other countries right now with some of our missionaries. They're going in and going into their homes and going into their churches and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." I mean, imagine going in and saying, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He died on the cross for your sin. You need to believe that He died and buried and was rose again, and He will save your soul. You don't have to go to hell. And they get mad at them. And they say, these people are turning the world upside down. Hey, praise the Lord, man. Some people's worlds need to be turned upside down. They need to go in a different direction than the one they're going in. And so they preached unto them. And the Bible says in verse 7, when Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. What was the great crime that was committed? Paul went into their synagogue and opened the book and opened the Scripture and said, let's talk about what you believe compared to this. That is what got them in an uproar. And some of the people sitting in the congregation, they looked at the book, they looked at what was being taught, they began to think about these things, and they said, you know what, Paul, you're right, that's what the book says, that's what I believe. And some of them got saved. But the religious crowd got mad and angry. Do you know who it is that's mad this morning about any messages that are preached here or other Bible-believing churches or people that stand for the truth? It is the religious crowd that gets mad at you. It's not the lost heathen. The guy down in Birmingham with a beer bottle this morning that's not in church, doesn't care anything about church. I mean, he's not. If you go talk to him, he's actually probably going to be respectful to you. And listen, because he knows he's a sinner. He knows he's not doing right. It's the religious crowd. It's the religious crowd that's going to get mad. They're the ones that get angry if you speak out against some of these things that are going on that are great deceptions. It's the religious crowd that gets upset. And that's exactly what happened here. So then we move on to verse number 10. They sent them by night into Berea. And verse number 11 said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So Paul again goes into Berea, goes right back in the synagogue. And the Bible said here that these were more noble. Why were they more noble? Well, the ones at Thessalonica got upset. A few of them got saved. It said, but the Jews which believed not, there were several that didn't believe. But these here, these Jews, and the Bible tells us many of them got saved here. We don't know how many. But they were more noble because of a few things that they did. And this is what I want to give you this morning. There's three things that they did. The first thing they did was received with readiness. They received with readiness. There in verse number 11, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You know what will help you this morning when it comes to discerning through Scripture is when you come into the church and you know you got the right Bible and you know that the preacher is going to be out of the Bible, that you come in ready to hear from God, ready to receive with all readiness. There's many that last night, even in trying to get ready to come to church this morning, did not prepare 1 minute for coming to church to hear preaching. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, we have everything in the world going on. We're busy. We go to bed late. We get up Sunday. We rush to church and we're not ready to receive the Word of God at all. Amen. It's good to prepare the night before. Lay out your clothes. Hey, let God know I'm looking forward to going to your house and hearing the preaching of Scripture. The Bible said that they were ready. They received with readiness. They were excited about what they were going to hear. They were prepared to hear it. And if we're going to discern through Scripture, we need to be ready to receive it. Be ready to receive it. Look with me in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Hold your place here. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. That phrase, received the Word. Received the Word is found 5 times in your Bible. That phrase, received the Word. 5 times is the number of grace. Let's look at these. Acts chapter 8, verse number 14. I tell you, it's a good thing when somebody receives the Word. We have enough critics, man, enough people that come in, and they've got a shield up, and they're not ready to receive anything. Not ready to receive one bit. It's going to be hard for you to discern through Scripture if you're not ready to receive it. And that means hearing things sometimes that you don't want to hear. Some things that are contrary to what we believe, are contrary to what we feel. We need to be ready with God. Whatever you tell me, I'm ready to receive it. Whether I like it or not, whether I receive it or not. Acts chapter 8, verse number 14. You there? Say amen. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had, what? Received the Word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. What a testimony that they received the Word of God. Look at Acts 11, verse 1. Acts 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also what? Received the Word of God. It doesn't say that they heard that they received a revival. It doesn't say that they heard that they received a great awakening. They just heard that they received the Word of God. And you know what they said? We're going to respond to that because they received the book. They received the Word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I love it when somebody comes up to me and says, can I show you what the Lord showed me in the Bible? Man, that thrills my soul. I try to do it and the Lord shows me something. I want to share it with somebody. Say, look what God showed me in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Talking about following Paul. Having received the what? The Word and much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. These are the ones of Thessalonica he's writing to. He'd already been to Thessalonica in Acts. These are the ones he's writing to, the church that was established in Thessalonica. And he said, ye received the Word in much affliction. Who was afflicting them? The Jews back in Thessalonica that believed not. The ones that would not accept Scripture that was being taught to them are the ones that afflicted them. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Right there across the page. For this cause also, thank we God, without ceasing, because when ye received the what? The Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So the first thing I find about these, why were they more noble? Because they were some great men or great? No. They were more noble because of their response to Scripture. They were more noble because they received with readiness. They were ready to receive. Look at the second thing back there in our text. Go back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. Where's your mind this morning? Where's our mind? Our mind can be in so many different directions, but when it comes time to read God's Word and hear the preaching of God's Word, we need to get our mind focused on Him and be ready to receive. So number one, we find that they received with readiness. Number two, they researched with regularity. They researched. They didn't just hear Paul say something and run with it. Now listen, Paul says over and over again, follow me as I'm following God. Amen. You want your pastor and your Sunday school teacher to be following God. Right? But they didn't just take His Word. There's churches everywhere. I'm telling you, the pastor gets up and preaches whatever he wants. And everybody follows it. And very rarely does somebody say, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's a dangerous thing. That's how some of these movements get started. They don't search the Scripture. They research with regularity. The Bible said they search the Scriptures daily. You cannot live a Christian life that pleases God and make good decisions and have any kind of discernment if you only read your Bible on Sunday morning when the preacher's preaching. You can't make good decisions. The Bible tells us over and over again about God's Word and daily and being in it every day and searching it every day. And there's people that have a hard time making spiritual, scriptural decisions because they don't research their Bible every day. They heard what Paul said. They were ready to receive it. But they didn't just jump on board. They were in their Bible every day and saying, now Paul said this. Paul said this verse right here. And they opened their Bible and they went and looked at it. I see people taking notes during service and I'm thankful for it. And I know some people take notes and they go home and they open their notebook and they open their Bible and say, here's what he preached. Now, Lord, will you show it to me? And they begin to read through the verses. They begin to read through the notes that they took. And they research it every day and say, guess what? What the preacher preached is right on the authority of the Word of God, not on his authority. On the authority of the Word of God. They search the Scriptures daily. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. day and night, getting in your Bible every day. Most everybody in the church, if you're not getting this and you want to get on it, everybody should be getting a daily text from Brother Bowen. And I know some people are doing their old Bible reading plan. Hey, thank God you're reading your Bible every day. But this is an opportunity for us as a church to keep each other accountable, to say, hey, let's all read the Bible and make sure everybody's reading. Why? The more people we have in our church reading the Bible, the more scriptural we're going to be, the more spiritual we're going to be. Hey, His words are spirit and life. If we want the Holy Spirit of God to move in our church, and He's going to do it with this book. He's going to do it through the discerner. And the more people we have reading their Bible every day and looking at it, I'm telling you, the more God can do with us and through us. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You need Scripture every day. And I said this last week, it does not need to be the verse of the day on whatever Bible app you use. Because almost all those, the verse of the day, even if you use King James, they're going to put a humanistic twist to it. They're going to try to make you feel good about yourself. Be accepting of your... I don't care what app it is. They're going to give you a humanistic spin on that verse. You don't believe me? Most of them will have a devotion. It'll have a devotion that goes with that verse. And it'll be Tim Tebow or somebody else telling you how wonderful you are using that verse. I need God every day. And if I get up first thing in the morning and realize how good of a person I am, what do I need God for that day? No, I have to have Him. You need to be in your Bible every day. The verse of the day on Facebook is not going to get it done. Get in your Bible. Read it every day. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. Not through opinions, not through media, not through news, not through social media. Discerning through Scripture. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Open it up and read it and see what it has to say. And I want to challenge you. I know Google's used for a lot of things. Something comes up, you say, I wonder what the Bible says about that. And you go to Google to find out what the Bible says about it. If Google recommends the passage, whatever, but open your Bible and look at it. Get in there and look at it. I'm leery of the Bible even being on tablets and things like that because it can be changed and twisted. Words can be changed. Words can be taken out. I don't ever... One of these days, they might kind of try to come take our Bibles. They may try to come take it, man. And I always thought maybe I'd start hiding them somewhere. Amen? Hide them in the wall or something. They come in and start taking them. At least you can get your hand on it. Man, I love my Bible. Open the Scriptures. Read them. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. Are y'all okay? I hope this series isn't boring you. I'm coming to an end. For everybody that was looking for a grand finale, the grand finale is the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. That's what it is. I've given this illustration several times. And I'm going to give it again in light of the message. But when I was a teenager, there was a period of time where I was making foolish decision after foolish decision after foolish decision. I already had my license. I was driving. I got a couple speeding tickets. I was making bad decisions with a girlfriend, making bad decisions at school, just making a series of bad decisions. And my dad comes up to me and he doesn't ask me what I've been doing, where I've been going, all these kind of things. What he asked me is, are you reading your Bible? That's all he said. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible, Dad. I'm the pastor's son. I was lying to the Holy Spirit and to my dad. You know what? He realized he's making bad decisions. He's not reading his Bible. What about that? Somebody's making bad decision after bad. Hey, if you've got a pattern of that in your life right now, what do you need? More Scripture. You need discernment. And even if you read a passage that has nothing to do with what you're currently going through, the Holy Spirit will make an application. You could be reading in the book of Joshua. You could be reading in the book of Judges. And whatever you're going through that day, when you read the daily Scripture that day, the Holy Spirit will make application to what you're going through, and He'll give you some wisdom. You pray, Lord, I'm about to read this book and I've got decisions and I'm reading Judges because that's where we're reading right now. And Lord, I need some wisdom. And you just open that book and God will do His part. He will give you the wisdom you need for whatever. I mean, he could use Joshua fighting the Amalekites. And man, just, I mean, it makes no sense to anybody. God, through that story, gives you the answer you need. Start making bad decisions time and time again. He realized you're making a bunch of bad decisions. You're not reading your Bible and praying. And he probably knew I was lying to him. The Holy Spirit smote my heart and said, hey, dummy, get back in your book. Amen. Maybe you start making some good decisions again. You realize people that are not in their Bible tell on themselves. If you're not in your Bible every day, you tell on yourselves with decisions that you make. You say, man, they have no discernment. Or if they get offended really easily, I know you're not in your Bible like you're supposed to. I hope this is helping somebody, not hurting anybody. We have to have this book. John chapter 5 and verse number 39. You're there, say amen. What is the first three words? Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Why were these more noble? Because they received with readiness, they researched with regularity. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm almost finished. I only got like two more verses for you to turn to. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know what? Every child in here has the opportunity to know Scripture. The kids that are sitting in this room, you have a wonderful opportunity at a young age to learn Scripture. Some of these older folks wish that they had the Scripture put in them and they read Scripture when they were younger. They would love to go back and be able to say, hey, I read the Bible every day. I searched. They would love to say, I wish my mom and dad made sure I was doing the daily Bible reading plan, make sure I was reading the Scripture. They would love to go back and say, I wish I could do some things over again. Maybe some decisions wouldn't have been made. Some bad discernment. Timothy, from a child, knew the Holy Scriptures. And every child in here should be able to know these things. Man, you've been in church. You need to read your Bible every day just like the adults. And parents, you need to encourage your children to read the Bible every day. You say, well, they don't always understand. It doesn't matter. They could be reading the genealogies. They could be reading in Joshua where we just read, where we found out what tribe got what land and where the border was. I mean, that is laborious reading. It's laborious. But guess what? I read it and I finished and I got done. I said, Lord, thank you. That was good. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But guess what? I read your word. So the kids can't pronounce every word. Just try. Be in the Bible every day. Read through the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the Scripture, which are able to make thee what? What does it say, church? You need some wisdom. Do you need some discernment? Are we beating a dead horse? Where are we going to get it? The Scripture. If we're going to be a Bible-believing church, the Scripture has to be our foundation. Nothing else. No programs, no anything. Scripture. And you say, well, you shouldn't have to preach that here. Yeah, there's a lot of churches that said that, and guess what? They've left the book. I'm talking about men that we've known. Men that these ladies back here know, and they've left the book. Some of them still carry a King James, but they don't believe it anymore. And they don't practice it, and they twist the Scripture to their corruption. I'm telling you, it happens. Everybody in here probably knows people this has happened to. Why are you preaching this series? Try to help our church discern through the deception. Discern through Scripture. Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, this preaching the last several weeks have been just some instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Scripture. Last thing, go back to our text. And then I got one last verse to show you. I have not given one invitation the last 3 weeks. And this morning I'm going to give one. Just maybe we need to talk to the Lord about it. So I'm asking Sarah if she'd go ahead and get ready to come to the piano. And listen, it might be that you're doing all these things the way you're supposed to. Thank the Lord for it. Maybe this morning when we give an invitation, you need to thank God for His Word. Dad was talking about the things we take for granted. Some of us take this book for granted. It's sitting on our shelf. It's sitting on our dashboard. It's sitting on the coffee table. We take it for granted. We find three things why these men were more noble. And I believe it's a great illustration of what we ought to apply in our hearts when it comes to discerning through Scripture. They received the Word with all readiness of mind. Number two, they searched the Scripture daily. And the last thing, whether those things were so. We find that they received with readiness, they researched with regularity, and they reviewed for rightness. They were checking the facts. Paul, this is what you said. Preacher on TV, preacher on social media. Every person with a camera that loves themselves, that's so-called Christian, they will have an opinion on social media about something Christian. I mean, there's more women preachers on social media right now. And some of them are in independent Baptist churches. But they want to get on there and give their thought of the Bible. Now listen, if it's with the right heart, use it to glorify God. Most of the time it's not. It's to glorify self. It's to get in on what everybody else is doing. But whatever you hear, don't take it to the bank. That check will bounce more than likely. Get in the book and check for rightness. Check to see if it's true. If they give you a scripture verse, praise the Lord, they gave you a verse, go look it up. Let me give you an example. I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but in the ESV, in our Bible, it talks about a woman's desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In the ESV, what does it say? Yeah, your wife's will is going to be contrary to yours. Those are two different things. You know what that's doing? Women, if you're going to balk against your husband, you're going to buck at everything he's doing, that's all right because the Bible said that would happen. No, that's not. That's not what that's talking about. You're going to submit to your husband because of the thing that happened there. You need to look up every verse. I don't care if it says King James. Look at it. Make sure it's right. And then when you look at it, check the context. Check the context of Scripture. Read the other verses around it. That's why we rightly divide the Word of truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration for doctrine. Every book, every page, every word, everything's doctrinal in this book. And you've got to find out, you've got to rightly divide the Word of truth. The last thing I'll give you, look at Luke chapter 6. So we find that these were more noble. Why were they more noble? The ones at Thessalonica, they heard the Scripture and they got mad about it. The ones at the Bereans, when they opened the Scripture, when it was opened unto them, they said, we're gonna search this out. We're going to hear it with all readiness. We're not just going to dismiss it. We are going to research it every day. And we're going to make sure these things are so. Make sure they're right. This is a proper approach to whatever's going on. We're talking about discerning through Scripture. This is the approach to take, church. When you hear it, don't just jump on. Hey, when you see something flash on social media, don't just share it. Don't just immediately share it. There's some things that maybe look good on the surface, but if you click on that person's profile, they're half naked in half the pictures. And you just shared that with the world. Maybe they posted a verse one day, and the next day they're cussing their husband out on there. And you just shared it with everybody. You say, "What do you?" I think you just need to get off the thing. It's time for the children of God to start discerning through Scripture. Look at this verse right here. I think this will kind of sum up what we've been going through. Miss Sarah, you can start playing something. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 6, in verse number 46. You know, I imagine if God, even this morning, is asking this question about some people in our churches. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I wonder this morning if the Lord was looked down on our church and say, you call me Lord, Lord, you sing the songs, you see the Scripture, but you're not doing the things that are in the Scripture. You're not making good decisions. You're not discerning through Scripture. If that's the case this morning, maybe we need to get our hearts right with the Lord. Maybe it is that we're doing exactly like we're supposed to. But we need to thank God for this book. Dad talked about taking things for granted. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. God spoke to your heart, church. Would you respond? Would you respond to the Holy Spirit? God, Brother Stephen talked this morning about the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Discerning through Scripture. We need to make some judgments in our home. There's some things that got to go. Maybe some things on our phone that we're just not making good decisions. There's many that have come. Would you come this morning? If God spoke to your heart, would you come? And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?